pray along with me over just anyone in this city that you know that this does not know our Lord Jesus yet. Let's just pray together. Pick someone. And just pray over that person. Lord, we thank you. Lord, we pray. We pray that you will awaken. We pray that you will awaken hearts to who you are, to your truth, to knowing you, to encountering with you. Spirit, will you awaken? Will you guide people? Jesus. Jesus, we proclaim your name over this city. King Jesus, you are king over this city as well. And even though no one is worshiping you, even though no one is seeking you, even though no one acknowledges you, we do. We're here, we're worshiping together with your people from all over the world. And we proclaim that you are the king, that you are the Lord. And that there's no way to the Father except through you, Jesus Christ, through what you have done for us. It's not because of who we are, it's because who you are and what you have done. And so boldly we enter the throne room. Boldly we enter in because you've provided us with access. And in your authority and in your name, Jesus, we pray for those who do not know you, who are lost, who are confused, who are in darkness. There's no darkness that you can't light up. There's no pit too deep that your arm won't be able to reach it. There's no force too strong that you won't be able to break through. We see the chains hit the ground. We can hear it. Prophetically, we pray into those lives. Lord, set them free. We can see it happening. We can see what it looks like when they are kneeling down before the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. We can see what freedom means to those who are addicted, to those who are struggling, who are wrestling, who cannot go out, come out. We can see already what happens when they break through those prison doors, because you have set them free. And Jesus, we know that no awakening in this city will ever be able to happen if there's not first a revival here. Lord, so we pray, revive us. God of revival, revive us. The little flame that's still flickering inside, Lord, will you ignite it to become a fire, an all-consuming fire? Revive us, Lord. You won't be able to awaken the city if you won't first revive us. So set a fire in our souls that we can't contain, that we can't control. As we give ourselves to you, Holy Spirit, you fill us up from the and you change us from the inside out. We're here and we're ready, Lord. Do it again. Do what you've done in the past. Do what you've done in our past. Maybe the first love that we've abandoned. Set us on fire again, Lord, for you. Set us on fire again for you. With faith that you're going to move. Faith that you're going to use us. Even our broken lives. But you're going to shine your light through our brokenness, Lord. Yes. Jesus, fill us with your Holy Spirit again. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. I'm just going to leave a moment of silence before I open God's word. A moment of silence for us to pray. To come before God in a still moment. To ask Him to revive us. We let your peace settle into our souls in this moment. We delight again in your salvation. We realize that when we come to you, Jesus, we find true rest for our souls. Because your yoke is easy and your burden is light. You don't come with heavy demands. You come with an invitation to sit at your feet and find rest. So Lord, we come. You can be seated. I'm going to try to transition this thing to the message. And we'll do that first by inviting up Stuart for a quick testimony. So we've been in a sermon series on Sabbath. Took a quick break last week with Ricky, which was not bad to have a quick break. Ricky was fantastic last week. Really loved his message and his encouragement to all of us. Now we're going to continue with part three of a four-part series on Sabbath, on delight. And I've asked people to share some testimonies with us about how learning to practice Sabbath has changed something, has done something. And Stuart and Sandera, who's not here, have a testimony about this. And just quickly want to share.
Thank you. So I'm definitely at the new to Sabbath end of the scale. Anyone who knows me even vaguely will probably know I like to work a lot. I'm always kind of putting my hand up to help a lot. But inevitably that means I always thought Sabbath isn't for me, I know. And actually over the last year especially, I had a few friends really dive into this and like really make it a part of their life, and I had quite an internal resistance to it. But you kind of, I think I've learned, like, when you resist something a lot, there's probably a reason, like something's there for you. So only since really Christmas have I've really tried to set aside a day every week. Normally it's Saturday, or at least a 24-hour period where I'm really at rest. And for me, one of the big things is I turn my phone off. And it seems like a small thing, but actually, like, I'm a bit of a worrier, and I help run the team for the hospitality and facilities here. So if you turn your phone off on a Saturday and everything's going to happen Sunday morning, my message to God and myself is like, everything will be okay. Like, I don't need to think about this. And if someone calls in sick, if something happens, it will still be okay. So it's a small thing, but it is a kind of act of resistance for me, an act of trust that, like, things will be okay if I clock out for 24 hours. And that's been quite helpful. And I think also the other thing I've learned, I think I'm very much in this four-part series, I'm in the rest and stop phase. I'm not so much yet in the delighting and worship, but I hope to kind of get there. But even that has been really good for me, like in just having space. And I find myself often at the end of a Saturday now thinking, oh wow, I have another day of the weekend. Whereas before I always felt like Sunday night would roll around and I'd be like, oh, I could do with another day or two off. And so it's a beginning. And you mentioned my wife, Sandera, she's not here today, but the interesting thing for her is she was off work for half a year because of we had a baby and she had all this great time off. So for her, she's like, I'm done with the stop rest. I'm like there, like we need to get to the like delight and worship stuff. So that's also been really fun to have her push us to like, every week we write two things down we're thankful for and we keep it and we plan to go over it at the end of the year, and we have a song we listen to every week, and that's, yeah, so we're getting there. But even in the month and a half, 2 months I've been doing this, I started to see, yeah, I'm enjoying it in spite of how it's really not my character. So.
Good stuff. Yeah, fantastic. You were also going to do the scripture reading for today. Let's stand up as we open scripture.
we're reading from Isaiah. It's chapter 58, 13 to 14. Keep the Sabbath day holy. Don't pursue your interests on that day, but enjoy the Sabbath and speak of it with delight as the Lord's holy day. Honor the Sabbath in everything you do on that day, and don't follow your own desires or talk idly. Then the Lord will be your delight. I will give you great honor and satisfy you with the inheritance I promised to your ancestor Jacob. I, the Lord, have spoken.
Yeah, thank you. All right, you can be seated. So a while back, as I knew that this sermon series was coming up, and I was sharing with someone about what we were doing in the church and focusing on spiritual disciplines and Sabbath coming up, she told me a story that I thought was beautiful and didn't want to withhold from you as well. So this is a woman who's in her, I think, 50s, maybe early 60s, and she was sharing that one Sunday she was somewhere on a beach, just enjoying the view, and she was sitting quite close to a sort of ice cream cart, truck, how do you call this, thingy, and she saw a man with this child walk by, and the child asked, like, "Oh, Dad, can we have ice cream?" And Dad answered, no, it's Sunday, we cannot have ice cream. And she said, "I felt so sad because, you know, that's what Sundays used to be like for me. I used to hate Sundays because we were never allowed to do anything." And just a sort of a sadness, sad memory from her past settled. But then another man with his child walked by, and the child asked, "Oh, Daddy, can we have ice cream?" And the dad was, "Yes, of course, it's Sunday." And so that moment just redeemed the heart of Sabbath for her. I thought it was beautiful. See, the Sabbath is meant to be the best day of the week, filled with joy and laughter, with good friends, with great people. The Sabbath serves us as a weekly celebration of all that is good and, about God and about the world and about life itself. And so in this series, we are going, as mentioned before, through four moves of Sabbath, and that is to stop, to rest, to delight, and to worship. And so today is part three. It's on delight. And this happens to be my favorite part and the one that I'm best at executing on the Sabbath as well. Started with a good meal last Friday night, and I had to take two Rennies before I went. It's like the sort of settle your stomach, and then still almost woke up with it coming back to me. So I know how to do this. And so I'm happy to share about delight on the Sabbath with you. See, as Christians, we can get so caught up in a sort of gloomy, dark view of the world, you know, like, "Oh, Lord, look at what's happening. Look at, like, it's all going so bad. Like, no one knows you. No one trusts you. Everyone's wicked. You know, everyone's is evil. We're in decay." Interestingly, when you look at the life of Jesus, you see a man that is filled with joy. Now, if anyone had reason to not be joy-filled, it was Jesus. Like, he had seen the way of mankind from creation and the fall and how everything ended. And he came to redeem us. He came to save us through his death. And then when he was here and he was, you know, living life as humans were supposed to live it, he got into so much resistance and misunderstanding. And if someone had reason to get frustrated and angry and just, you know, unjoyful, it was Jesus. But he was a joy-filled person. He loved going to parties. He loved to celebrate. People wanted to be around Jesus all the time. He loved to eat. He loved to drink. He loved to feast almost carelessly. Now, of course, yeah, the world is corrupted with sin, and there's lots wrong with the world, and you know, there's a one or two things maybe wrong with us as well. But what if we could, for 6 days in the week, focus on those things and, you know, work on them and use our lives to make this world a better place? And but on the Sabbath, on the one day a week that we set aside, and as I've mentioned before, if you ask me, it's up to you which day that is and how you do that exactly. But let's go for a 24-hour period that we set aside to delight in God, to delight in life. and to lay aside those worries for a little bit, to lay aside the so all the cares that can heap up, to lay aside the news for 24 hours. You know, life will carry on without you, but let's take a day to delight in God, to delight in this world, to delight in life. There's one line from a House Fire song that says, life is a gift and the giver is good. You know, creation still carries the beauty of our Creator. Yes, it's corrupted with sin. Yes, there's the fall. Yes. Yeah, we're making a mess of it, but creation still carries that beauty of God. You and I as well. And it's good to set aside a day to delight in that. Richard Foster, who wrote a landmark book on spiritual disciplines, he called it the celebration of discipline. And he said, celebration is the heart of the way of Jesus. You know, the fruit of the Spirit, there's something to the order in which it comes to us. Galatians 5, verse 22, you know, the fruit of the Spirit, the fruit of what he does in our life, when he fills us, when he takes over, when he's changing us from the inside out, how do we see that? How do we measure that? An increase of love, joy, peace, etc. In that order. Love and joy. We ought to be people of joy. How come then that Christians are known as the most boring party poopers? Honestly, we should be the most joy-filled people in every room. And when all these joy-filled people come together on the Lord's Day, which for most of us is the Sabbath, this place should explode with joy, shouldn't it? Is there a doctor in the room? Now, I know, you know, the world knows how to party. Sure, the world knows how to party. I mean, especially all you students, you know what your classmates look like on the Friday morning, you know, after the first big party night in the week for students, when they all, like, Friday morning, like, they get themselves to class, like, no, headache and everything. Like, you know, they know how to party. They know how to party, sure. Do they know how to celebrate? That's something else. You know, partying is an escape. You know, getting drunk, getting high, dancing all night, hoping to, you know, go home with someone. It's a way to escape the meaninglessness and the darkness of life. It's a way to escape, to make some sense out of things, to enjoy yourselves. And as long as there's money and there's booze, you can keep on escaping. But what about celebrating? Celebrate. You know, if someone, I remember people telling me, like, oh, I've been partying all week. And I'm like, what did you celebrate exactly? You're like, life, man. Celebrating is different. Yeah. Truly savoring a moment, remembering the meaning of that moment in history. Observing a day, because you want to let the meaning of that day and what you're celebrating sink deep into your heart. That's something that's becoming rare. We are called to be a people of joy because we actually have a reason to rejoice always. I get why people are looking for an escape. You know, philosophers have told us there is no God. There is no God, and life is by chance, and therefore, really, if you think it through, quite meaningless. So go and make the best out of it. It's all meaningless anyway, and have a good day. Thank you very much. And then life becomes a hunt for good experiences, for, you know, and the more good experiences that we can have, you know, the better it makes us feel, the better life is, you know. The goodness of life in this world becomes something that we hold on to, we cling on to. We have to enjoy it while it lasts. And that's how cynicism set in, because, you know, that little trick, that story that will disappoint us really quickly. Our world's filled with cynicism. You know, it presents itself as a sort of realism about, you know, like as a cure to being naive, but really it's quite an ugly view on reality. Ultimately void of meaning. And it saddens me how in our Christian world, we can also get so cynical about things. We can get cynical about, you know, the world and about the church, about community, about prayer. I don't know, have you spent any time on YouTube lately? Maybe just be me, but my YouTube search, like when I go on and look for videos, it tends to be filled with sort of hate speech about famous preachers. And I blame the algorithms for that. Because, you know, you click that one video because you're curious. Like, oh, what did he say wrong? Let me see. Like, and it's just, oh, it wasn't that bad. It was just more misunderstood than anything else. But then somehow the search engines think like, oh, you like this stuff? Well, we have tons more. Like, and then just get curious again. And like, ah. It's like whenever a church is doing well and growing quickly, people get cynical. Ah, there must be something wrong. Yeah, they must be diluting the real message or something. Or they're all about themselves. They're just attracting crowds, but they're not discipling people. Or the pastor is self-obsessed or this. Or something has got to be wrong because the gospel really is not good news. Oh, wait. The gospel is good news. And maybe people would come and stand in line to hear the good news. You know, that cynicism is actually contributing to the dark side of the world and to the shadow side of the church. Celebration, embracing joy, embracing all that is good in the world, enjoying fellowship with other believers, even if it's just for one day a week, will be a powerful tool to resist that cynicism for creeping in. And it will release us to become a person of joy. And so on the Sabbath, we are invited to delight mainly in three things, in God, in the world, and in life. First, delighting in God. Let's read the passage again, Isaiah 58. Keep the Sabbath day holy. Don't pursue your own interests on that day, but enjoy the Sabbath and speak of it with delight as the Lord's holy day. Honor the Sabbath and everything that you do on that day, and don't follow your own desires or talk idly. And then the Lord will be your delight. I will give you great honor and satisfy you with the inheritance I promised to your ancestor Jacob. I, the Lord, have spoken. Delighting on the Sabbath is choosing to delight in the good things that God gives. And so it's different from finding a way to enjoy yourselves, which would be more like the, you know, don't pursue your own interests thing. Delight, firstly, is found in God. Actually, the whole chapter of Isaiah 58, most of the chapter is about fasting. And then the last bit that we read is about the Sabbath. And so and those two seem to contradict a little bit. You know, you're fasting and you're feasting. They're very different. The interesting thing that happens in the chapter is that they are both put in the context of true worship, of really worshiping God. It says, you know, if you're going to fast, then fast well. Don't fast in a self-righteous way, but in a righteous way, which means that you'll do justice to others. Like, if you're going to sacrifice anything, your own comfort, you know, your own, like, what your stomach is craving, if you're going to fast from anything, if you're going to seek discomfort for my sake, then do it in such a way that you're actually blessing the poor, that you're actually reaching out because you're neglecting them right now and you're making it something self-righteous. And then it says about feasting and about the Sabbath, do that in the right way as well. Find your delight in the right things, not in a sort of postmodern, do whatever makes you happy kind of thing, but find your delight in God. Let this be worship. I really like the word delight. There's something beautiful in it, I think. It goes so far beyond pleasure. You know, the whole word is tainted with indulgence, with promiscuity, as if there's something inherently sinful about enjoying something. But the word delight, I don't know, it has something different to it. It's almost like a choice, like you're choosing joy, or you're choosing gratitude. You're choosing to enjoy something, to delight in something. For us as Christians, delight is something that we should that should come with a sense of gratitude, of thankfulness to God. Thank you for this and for that. I love what you said, Stuart, the list that you make with things that you're thankful for. It's such a good way to practice gratitude. And we have so many things to be thankful for. Whatever your life looks like now, whatever your circumstances look like, there are always things to be thankful for. And when I look at my 1.5-year-old son just running around in the house, like you hear his little steps go, coming around the corner, you know, this eyes popping out and this big smile and just looking for the next adventure. Just I wanna enjoy that. I wanna delight in that and thank God for bringing him into our family. When I hear good music, I wanna delight in it and just enjoy it and listen to it. Like, oh wow, this is beautiful. Thank you, Creator God, for creating us creatively, so that we can make music and make beautiful things. Every sunrise, every sundown, with a multicolored sky, like a pink and orange and purple and everything. I wanna just savor it, enjoy it, delight in it. Every fresh cup of coffee, every bite of an apple, every glass of wine. I wanna savor the taste and the smell and really enjoy it. See, delighting has got everything to do with savoring, which is a sort of to pause, to, with intention, enjoy something. And that really belongs on the Sabbath, because on the Sabbath, we create space, we create time to really enjoy something, to pause, to, when you eat something, when you listen to something, when you read something, you have the time to savor that moment, to really appreciate it for what it is, to slow down enough so you can enjoy it with intention. It's on the Sabbath that we pause all other things so we can truly savor all that is good in our lives. And so a Sabbath practice that you could begin to adopt to bring delight in is to take note of all the things that you're thankful for. Practice gratitude, share it with others, write it down, find some way to remember all that is good in your life and the things that you're thankful for to God. All right, second, delighting in the world. So remember how an often used little ritual to enter into Sabbath is lighting those two candles. And so what we do with a little multicolored tea light holder, and then one that's more transparent. And one represents God as the creator. It's the multicolored one. It's like the whole creation is multicolored and diverse and beautiful. And then the second one, the transparent one, is represents God, our Savior. And so we celebrate him on the Sabbath as our creator and as our Savior. I should show you the video now of how Benton made this whole into a sermon with holding up the lights like, oh, like this. And it was one day. But you know, she doesn't speak English, but Dutch, so it's not really for us here now. This is beautiful. Like, when we enjoy something in this world, food, nature, music, a good book, Sex and the Covenant of Marriage, we acknowledge God's creation is good. God's creation is still, there's still so much good to us, to it. When I take time to sit down for a moment and quiet on our Saturday, which is our Sabbath, and I make a good cup of coffee, and I say, God, thank you for creating this world full of beautiful things and for people that somehow thought to pick those berries and roast it and do this and that, everything and that we have coffee now to enjoy. Because I chose fair trade beans, I can really enjoy it as well without that guilt. 2 weeks ago, we had a friend staying with us for the weekend. And we also entered into Sabbath together, and we did it. We lit the candles, I read a psalm, we prayed, and then we sliced up a really big bowl of tiramisu. And you haven't tasted mine, but it's delightful. So it was a good moment to enter into Sabbath. Just thank you, Lord, sugar and coffee and biscuits and chocolate and coffee. Thank you, Lord. It's good. You delight in something. You share in a joyful moment with, for example, with food. Delighting is something. When we delight in something in this world, we also point forward in that act to the time when all will be right with the world again, when Jesus comes back to make everything new. And there's the new creation, there's the new heaven, there's the new earth, there's the new Jerusalem. And we'll be there. And there will be desserts for everyone. And we can all enjoy in that together. Like often that moment of renewal is described as the wedding banquet of the bride and the lamb. You know, there'll be food there. There'll be really good food there. So when we enjoy good food now in this life, and especially on the Sabbath, it points forward to that time when heaven and earth are reunited again. Sabbath is supposed to be the day through which we look forward to the time when Jesus comes back to make all things new. And therefore, delighting in something also is a way of practicing hope, of looking forward to that time. One writer, as he's talking about the Sabbath, talks about pleasure stacking, filling up the day with good food, with good activities that give you true pleasure, kind of heaping that up. And so a great way to practice delight on the Sabbath is by doing a Sabbath meal. The video that most of our groups will watch this week will also talk about this, to enter into Sabbath with a meal, perhaps on a evening. Like you can, there's two ways to do Sabbath. Yeah, you could do like the Sunday, for example. You could also start on the night before, like do from meal to evening meal to evening meal, which is also the way that we do it at home. And so we start with a good meal, and you can stretch that really long, depending if you have young children or not. They tend to get fed up really quickly. You could also do it on a Sunday afternoon, like a Sunday roast type of thing, like invite friends and have a long meal together, like what you do on Christmas. Spend time on the table, enjoy food, enjoy drink, take seconds, savor the company, spend extra long at the table together. Now, another way that really helps to bring delight into the Sabbath is to put some boundaries around the days. Of course, we've discussed to, you know, stop all work and to choose rest. But another suggestion you'll find in the Practicing the Way materials that we're going through is to make an I will list and an I won't list. So there's I will things that you are going to do on the Sabbath that will give you delight and joy and rest. And also things that you choose not to do on that day that you set aside, that you're trying to avoid. And so a boundary also that may help you to really enjoy Sabbath. Maybe to put some boundaries on, for example, eating during the week. Have you ever read the famous story Charlie and the Chocolate Factory? You've probably seen the film, but if you've also read the book, there's a scene there. So it's Charlie's birthday, and he is from a poor family, and all of his grandparents live in their house, which must have been fun for him, but not sure for his parents as well. But they're poor, like they're just getting by. And then on his birthday, he gets this beautiful gift, a bar of chocolate, and he savors it. Like I remember from reading the book that he spends weeks eating it. The first days, he just looks at it, and then he takes a little nibble. And then at some point, he takes a whole block. Wow, what a day that was. And then like he waits until the taste of chocolate is really completely gone from his mouth, and then he takes another little bite. And like, when is the last time you ate chocolate like that? Not me. Not me. Perhaps we fail to truly delight because we tend to overindulge anyway throughout the week. Huh. This is why I don't mind speaking about my weekly enter into Sabbath rituals of opening a bottle of red wine. I know that may be a sensitive thing to some of you coming from an international context. You may come from a background where any alcohol is seen as sinful. My theology is that that's not really biblical. But also, I think it's important to redeem some good things that are, and to use it well, right? To be able to enjoy something without indulging. And so that's the only bottle I open all week. And I do that on the, I don't drink it on the Friday night, all of it. Just honestly, I don't. But it's, we've got to be able to enjoy things without indulging in them. And it's something to practice. Now, there may be tons of reasons why you abstain, and those are all good by all means. It won't preach you into drinking. Let it be far from me. But just to like, we need to even model to this world that you can enjoy something that is good without indulging in it. So in that sense, it said in a different way, we've got to teach our fellow students how to drink, how to do it well, how to just be able to enjoy something and then say, that's enough, that's a good, I've had a good one, that was enough. Indulgence will always destroy delight. So perhaps one way to delight more on the Sabbath is actually to dial down your consumption during the week and to save something for the Sabbath. He said, save something for the Sabbath. Let it become a thing during the week. You reach for it. We have a little cupboard in our kitchen where all our sweet stuff is. But the thing is, it opens with a squeak. Like, so if anyone reaches for it, and only I and I can reach for it because it's high, everyone in the house will hear it. Maybe every time I hear that sound, I should go, nope, save something for the Sabbath. Save something for the Sabbath. Right, last, delighting in life. So lastly, the Sabbath is a day to delight in life. So a good question to ask yourself on the Sabbath is, or actually before the Sabbath, as you prepare for entering into Sabbath, what would nurture my soul? What does my soul really need to find restoration after this week, after the week I just had? How can I find my joy and restoration in God today? You see, enjoying life is an essential spiritual discipline. Yeah, we can get so caught up in the busyness of life and the stress and the anxiety and the worries of this world, we may completely forget to really enjoy all that is good about life. There's a well-known chapter in Ecclesiastes where the writer talks about how there's a season for this and for that. You know, there's a season to break down, there's a season to build up, there's a season to laugh, and there's a season to cry, et cetera, et cetera. And then it goes on. Let me find it for you. It's Ecclesiastes 3, verse 9. He says, what gain has the worker from his toil? I have seen the busyness that God has given to the children of men to be busy with. He has made everything beautiful in its time. Also, he has put eternity into man's heart, yet so that he cannot find out what God has done from the beginning to the end. I perceive that there is nothing better for them than to be joyful and to do good as long as they live. Also, that everyone should eat and drink and take pleasure in all his toil. This is God's gift to man. Delighting in God, in the world, and in life on the Sabbath day is a way to carry ourselves through different seasons. We cannot connect to that eternity planted in our soul. It's a way to connect to that eternity planted in our souls. We acknowledge that God has made this world beautiful and will restore things to beauty again. And delighting on that day is also a way to redeem your work week, because you take time to enjoy what you have accomplished. You eat the fruit of your own labor. So often a blessing in the Old Testament is that you'll be able to just enjoy the grapes from your own from your own vineyard that you've planted and that you've grown and everything. The blessing is that you'll be able to enjoy what you've planted and what you've nurtured. This is also for us. We need to be able to enjoy the fruit of our own labor. That's a blessing. Sabbath is not a way to avoid pain, to act like everything is all right, or to positive think your way out of trouble. Actually, something that many people tend to feel on the Sabbath is even a sense of sadness, because all the emotions, all the difficult emotions of the week that you didn't have time for are catching up with you as you're resting, and if you're giving space to your thoughts and in your mind. All those feelings, they're all right. You don't have to dismiss them. It's important to actually go through them. And so what John Mark Comer says, who set up Practicing the Way, he says, delight is not a denial of existing pain, but a determination to move through that pain into joy. Sabbath comes at God's time. It's that one day a week that you've set aside. And it comes every week. It doesn't matter what kind of a week you've had, if it's a good week or a bad week, if you have time for Sabbath or not. It's there. God sets it. And God invites you to delight in Him, to be grateful, to celebrate all that He has done for us and all that He's promised that He will do. So I want to ask the team up to help us to enter into worship again. I want to invite you. So if you're a Christian, you're in this church, you're perhaps in a group, of course the invitation is to begin or to continue to practice Sabbath. And it will take practice. We're giving you a lot of input into this now. It's taken me years to really get to where I'm now with this. And it's not like I'm the Sabbath king yet. It really takes time. And so I know that, all this information will make it into the practice of your weekly life, into your daily life in time. So give yourself some space with this, but let me encourage you, try to integrate this into your life, delighting in God, stepping away from the worry, stepping away from the work to intentionally delight in God, to enjoy Him, to celebrate Him. It will do a lot of good for your soul. If you're not a Christian yet, let me just say that true delight in things, like all of these things in the world, food and pleasure and music and everything that's good, it's not going to satisfy you if you don't know who your Creator is, if you don't know who your Savior is. If you try to find your happiness in that, it's going to fail you. You first need to find satisfaction for your soul before you can really enjoy everything in life and in this world. So let that be my invitation to you. If you're not a Christian yet, seek the one who can really satisfy what your soul is craving for. And then all these other things will be on top of that. Let's stand, let's pray, and then we enter back into worship. There will also be a prayer team available to you. We'll have them on the sides today. Actually, I want to ask them to already find that spot so they're recognizable. Yeah, there. So on the side, if we can pray for anything, for re-entering into joy, like rejoicing in God again, or anything else that's in you that God is stirring in you, maybe during the worship time, maybe during the message, we'd love to just pray over you, and so don't go away without receiving prayer. All right. Lord, we thank you that we can truly celebrate you, that we have something to celebrate. Lord, I love how in Scripture you command so many different feasts for your people, so many days, so many reasons to throw a party, to celebrate something. So ways for us to acknowledge that you are our God, that you are good. So thank you that every week we're also invited into your presence to celebrate you with joy, come into your house. Lord, the first thing that you blessed was a day. You want to spend time with us. You love it when we enter into your presence. You love it when we seek you, when we spend time with you. and see the deepest needs of our soul met in you. So Lord, we do that again today. We choose to find our delight in you, knowing that nothing else will ultimately satisfy if you're absent from the story. We delight in you, Lord. As we worship, as we sing songs about you, help us to delight in that as well. Lift us up, Lord. Lift our souls up towards heaven. Amen.